Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome back to another episode of Motown and Coney. Back with my main man, Tommy.
What up, though?
So it was... Shoot, we got a lot to talk about. We got the women's NCAA championship game, men's championship game, J. Cole and Kendrick, the beef that never was. That's what I'll call it at this point. NBA playoff quickly approaching, starting MLB. Hell, you got the NHL playoffs quickly approaching. WNBA season, WNBA draft, where I think Caitlin Clark is going to be the number one all pick. But I guess we'll start off with the NCAA tournament. And I guess a sub-story to the tournament is John Calipari leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas.
Which, okay, I know a lot of people are looking at this like all wrong. They were going to fire him anyway. So he decided to step down, which made a lot of sense. So they were going to actually fire him. So he did himself a service by going with the next job, because they were going to actually get rid of him. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have happened this season, but definitely next season, just based on Kentucky. I mean, the AD kind of had to come out and, I guess, pretty much say his job was safe, but it didn't feel safe. So I think the writing was on the wall. I don't know who Kentucky gets. Maybe Billy Donovan is tired of coaching mediocre teams in the NBA and goes back to college. I don't know. I know some people have floated Dan Hurley out there. Come on, let's be real. Connecticut is the Kentucky of this generation right now.
Yeah, he won't leave for that job. Kentucky isn't, no. He's not going to leave for that job. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Connecticut to me is like head and shoulders above Kentucky right now.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. Like I said, with that Connecticut market, basketball is king. Basketball is king. That's it. It's just women's basketball, men's basketball. Football hasn't done anything in quite some time. So definitely just women's basketball, men's basketball. That's what you go there for. And they're going to pay their coaches top dollar. I don't see nothing else happening coming out of that.
Yeah, so let's talk about the championship game. I've pretty much all season hadn't seen a team been able to hang with Connecticut in a tournament. I think they set a record for like highest point differential for the tournament. Dominant performance. Probably nobody earlier in the season could see this coming. They lost a lot of talent on last year's championship team. For them to go back to back, I think they have what, six titles since 1999. Well, I think you have to say Connecticut is the modern era blue blood.
Now, for what it's worth, I would like to say that Rodney has nailed all of these finals. He picked the women's champion. He picked the men's champion, hands down. And the sad part about it is I always pick the runner-up person. Rodney knows I'm a Big Ten guy through thick and through. So, of course, I was going to go with the best Big Ten team in each of the conferences, and men and women. So, of course, I chose Purdue, and then I chose Iowa. And they lost to both of the teams that Rodney chose. That's just how it goes. It just wasn't strong enough, but I'm always going to pick the Big Ten over any conference. That's just how I feel. Yeah. I think, yeah.
To me, it seemed like both like South Carolina and UConn had a similar strategy. Because the UConn strategy – against Purdue, it was like, we'll let Edie get his points. We'll let him play one-on-one, but we're not going to let the other four players beat us, per se.
Right.
South Carolina, it seemed like, because the both games were close going in, you know, going into halftime, and both UConn and South Carolina have pretty much done what they did all season. That the first 10 minutes of that second half, and like they put their foot on the throat. And I think Don Staley just basically said, we're going to put our best defender on Caitlin Clark and try to force the other four people on the court to beat us. So,
right. Both similar strategies, and they actually went with what worked during Big Ten play. Like, they just basically referred back to watching the film when those teams lost and what was the formula. And they've always been the formula to stop them. The thing about Iowa, what I thought they supposed to did was actually slowed the game down and played a lot of man-to-man instead of playing the zone. But, hey, that's the way they decided to defend. Nobody could tell them what to do. I guess they went with what was working best for them the whole time. And hats off to both of those teams, too. Like, Don Staley's team was amazing. That Connecticut team was amazing. It just it felt like somewhere down the line, I guess they got out-coached. Iowa. Yeah, they got out-coached.
Yeah, I feel like both Coach Hurley and Connecticut, Coach Staley in South Carolina went in, made some halftime adjustments, and neither Iowa or Purdue could adjust. When really Purdue, the nail was in the coffin for them. You come out at halftime, you're down by 6. And I know it only made it 30-39, but that first three-pointer UConn hit come out at halftime was crucial. And it seemed like with Iowa, it seemed like Caitlin Clark, once Iowa started to get down, she started to press. Took some, I know they're in her range, but she took some long threes. Went to the, I don't know, it seemed like Iowa, once, like, South Carolina was really able to get them out their game.
Right. Right, you're right about that. And, like I said, it comes down to coaching, man. The thing about it is when I look at these type of things happen, Rodney, when the last time have you seen, like, a championship team in NCAA, any of their players go to the NBA or WNBA and actually just be dominant and win? You don't. And I think Caitlin Clark is going to win her WNBA championship, especially with that Indiana. That Indiana team is loaded.
Yeah, that Indiana team, because you'll have Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, a few other people. The squad they're putting together over in Indiana should make some noise this year in the WNBA.
And the games are already sold out, by the way.
Yeah, and shout out to women's basketball in general. The women's championship had more viewers than the men. Hell, they had more viewers than the NBA Finals last year. So shout out
right.
to just women's basketball. If you've been listening to the podcast, I've been saying it for a while now. Women's basketball, to me, is more enjoyable to watch than where the men's game is at this point.
Right. And it's just because the men's game has been so watered down, Rodney. You know, it's just been really watered down. It's picking up more of the NBA influence. Watching teams jack up 63s a game is not enjoyable to me. Yeah, I don't enjoy watching teams jack up 63s a game. You rarely see the poster dunks. You rarely see, I mean, that's crazy. I never seen the NBA like this, and it's been like this for the past 3 or 4 seasons. And right now, it's kind of being unbearable. You don't have really like dominant big men. that can really go on the inside and dominate or have post moves. Everybody's just jacking up threes. And it's just not the same. I do like Edie. I know Gilbert Arenas said that he doesn't think he's going to be good. How do you feel about what Gilbert Arenas said, Rodney?
I don't know, because Edie's, he's kind of hard to, I guess, project, especially with 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Edie, we would probably be talking about him being a number one pick, right?
Right.
Big man, can play to his back with his basket, but the game has changed so much. But I think Edie is the type of player where he could develop a mid-range jumper. He's useful. I don't see him being a bust. I don't see him being a star either. I feel like Edie could come into the NBA and be a good role player. Andre Drummond kind of per se in his heyday with a better shot.
Right. Right. I think he has a chance to come in and bring back that dominant big man status, crash the boards. I mean, basically what Rudy Gobert is doing. And he's faster than Gobert.
Oh yeah, I do like the Rudy Gobert comparison.
Yeah, that's why. And he has a better low post game than Rudy Gobert. So I don't understand how Gilbert Arenas can sit there and say that he thinks this man is a waste of a pick, when I think he has the shot block timing. He's perfect on helping out on the weak side. He covers a lot of floor space. He has, his low post moves are not that bad. He has good low post moves. His moves are better than Gobert's right now. And Gobert averages 30 plus minutes a game in an NBA game. So if you get that man the exact minutes, I think he can produce even better. And like you said, he can get a mid range game. He has a feathery touch. He's a better free throw shooter than Gobert. And which is weird for somebody that's really big too. Only Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren only have feathery touches being big men. So I think he's going to be pretty good, man. And I think, and of course, when I go to Caitlin Clark, both of these players, I'm going with both of the teams that lost. I love Connecticut. I love that Carolina team. But the better players was on the losing end of those teams. And I think that Caitlin Clark is going to be amazing, man. I think she's going to set the world ablaze. She reminds me of Diana Taurasi.
So I don't, because I feel like UConn was a better team than Iowa.
Oh yeah, better team, but not the better player. Not the better player. Better coaches, not the better player.
I don't know, Paige. Paige Buckets might have some say so. I'm happy this is the first season we got to see her fully healthy. This was, like, I love watching the Iowa-South Carolina game, but that UConn-Iowa game, I wanted to see Paige Buckets go toe-to-toe with Caitlin Clark.
And right, and that's what I was saying. Like, when you look at all these teams, it's a lot of great players that didn't really make it. The better coaching, the better team that had the better veterans that came back were Connecticut and also South Carolina. They had, like, all their players that came back. So they had all that experience with them. I just think those were the better, well-coached teams, and team-wise, they were better, a better cohesive unit. Reminds me of those Tom Izzo teams where he has the better unit. None of those players aren't really like dominant NBA players, but they were better unit of players together. So that's what it would kind of remind me of. But like I said, I think Edie and Clark and Beckers and all those people that didn't win a championship this season, I think they'll be really good, man. Like, I think they're going to be great. Also, the player from Tennessee. What's the one dude from Tennessee that I really like? Hyatt. I forgot it. I think it's like Hyatt or Height or something. That boy can score his ass off, man. He can shoot from anywhere. He got range on him, man. And he also can get to the basket, too. He got decent defense on him, too. Above average defense. I would like the Pistons to pick him up if they can, but yeah, man, I just I don't see nothing fantastic coming out of those players that won out of both of those teams. I don't think nobody stands out where they are dominating WNBA and be great. I just don't see it, but maybe they will.
I do see it. Like, I feel like Paige Bueckers could definitely dominate in the WNBA if she stays healthy.
Well, out of both the winning teams, like out of South Carolina and Connecticut,
South Carolina, I feel like what's the freshman point guard? I feel like she'll be great when she does to get to the WNBA. What's the other big man for UConn?
They had the one guy that transferred and I think he transferred from like a couple of small colleges. Like, he had a long road because he had a growth spurt. I think he's from like Dakota, one of the Dakotas or something. Yeah, but I think I know who you're talking about. I think he has the potential to be good, but I mean, nothing can beat hype, man. And I don't think Edie is like, he's not like a slow 7 foot something. You know, he's not slow. He gets up the floor pretty fast, pretty nimble. He got some good low post moves. That's what I say. If you get a coach that can, because don't get me wrong, I don't think that the coach for Iowa, I never thought that he was a great coach. He's been there. Is that Matt Painter? He's been there for quite some time. He's always been a bum. 19 years. Yeah, he's always. Don't get me wrong. He's always stinked up the joint. It just was their time to shine, man. They wound up getting a lot of great players that came their way. They got four great players that came their way and bought them some time. One of them wound up going to Sacramento. And then they had Edie. They had another good player that was with them, too. But that was about it, man. Like, other than that, Michigan State, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, they've been getting Ohio State. They've been kicking their ass, man. Purdue's been the doormat. I mean, I'm sorry, Iowa's been the doormat in basketball for the longest. Like, now it's their time. The sad part about it, I think that they're not going to be great anymore now that you add USC, which won't have Bronny anymore. But then you add Oregon and a couple other teams. So I think Purdue, Iowa, and Northwestern. I think Northwestern's coming along though, but I think Purdue and Iowa is going to go back to being the doormat of the Big Ten basketball wise.
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
Yeah, they're losing a lot of people this season, man. But you said, now I'm holding on to your word, Rodney, you said that Michigan is going to make it this season. Somebody has to fall for another team to rise. You said that Michigan is going to make it.
So Michigan and Rutgers are going to be my two surprise teams out of the Big Ten next season.
I like it, but they got to show me something. I want to see the guys that come in. I think Michigan State is going to be better. I think that they're going to bring – the young guys that they have are going to progress and be better. And they got some guys that can jump out the freaking gym. And I think that they're going to bring in some young guys that's going to be sweet. And I think that Wisconsin and Illinois, of course, they're going to bring back their people. They're going to be nice too. Ohio State was actually pretty good. Maryland was good. I think Ohio State
takes a step back.
I hope they take a step. I hate Ohio State. But they're good, man. They're good. They got something going on there, and the basketball program is finally catching up with the football program, where they've been actually decent every season.
Yeah, because we really don't know what we're gonna get from Ohio State this year either. Considering like Michigan, except they went with the interim coach and promoted him to head coach. So I don't know. I see them maybe taking a step back.
You think so? I'm nervous about the schedule this season, man. Football wise and basketball wise for next season coming up. Cause I mean, you're not introducing those slouches, man. I know the Pac-10 is no defense. Pac-10.
It's funny that you mentioned it. I haven't read the article yet, but I just saw wanna say it's on M Go Blue or something, about Michigan's schedule won't be as difficult as it seems. So I'm real curious to read their justification, because when I look at Michigan football schedule, it looks like murderer's row right now. So,
well, a lot of those players left. Like the Huskies team is, everybody's vacated and moved on. A lot of those guys are already transfers anyway. The guy that the quarterback everybody was raving about for them came from the Big Ten. So I didn't get it. And he didn't do anything in the Big Ten. USC is going to be depleted. They lose Williams. They lose a bunch of wide receivers and cornerback. Everybody's, like, depleted. Even Michigan's a little bit depleted. But you still bring back Edwards. The offensive line is good. The defensive line is going to be just as good. I think Michigan's going to be really good. Don't get me wrong. It's just that schedule, like, it seems like powerhouse team after powerhouse team after power. It's just like it's adding up. But I think if Michigan can find their way back, remember the play-in is expanded, Rodney. So I think we should be fine. You can lose one or two games and still make the playoffs.
Okay, so real quick, since we're talking college football, college sports in general. Name, image, and likeness. Does the NCAA need to do a better job of regulating it?
Oh yeah, of course. And that's one of the main reasons why certain teams in certain conferences can't keep great players or can't pay more players more, because California, of course, with that market, and that Texas market, they're going to pay people more. I think that's the reason why Juwan Howard got fired. After reading that article and seeing certain things and hearing what Jalen Rose said and what we talked about.
So the article is very, very interesting to hear Juwan's issue. I don't necessarily think, I know NIL was a big issue. I think admissions for Juwan may have been a bigger issue when you look at you had Caleb Love, who led Arizona this past season to the tournament, and you had Shannon from Illinois, who led them in scoring and led them to the tournament, both committed to Michigan at one point, but couldn't get through admissions. So,
and if you're Michigan, do you uphold the standard of Michigan? Now, let's be honest here, Rodney. Ohio State standard, Michigan State standard. This is from living here. Some of these other teams' standard isn't as high as the Michigan standard. Michigan standard is damn near close to fucking Stanford and Harvard. When you look at it, the standard and the grade point average, they just really got through some controversy a few years ago. I would say it had to be a decade ago. About the Board of Education thing about having certain students get in. It felt like they weren't allowing certain students unless you came in on a sports scholarship or was granted a sports scholarship that you weren't able to really get in. So if you were African-American, so, I mean, what does Michigan do? What does Juwan Howard do? What does his next coach do? That's what I was saying last week when we were talking, Rodney, well, week before last. You bring this guy, Florida Atlantic standards. Shit, I can probably get into Florida Atlantic. So, but you know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on. Their standard is like really low compared to a Michigan. So his pick and choose of who this man can choose, the standard isn't high enough. Like, he's going to really have to dig deep and get young men that have the right grade point average to come to the school and also be dedicated to Michigan. Like, that's really tough to do.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because it seems like the certain schools, Tennessee and others, are really going after the NCAA as far as what they can regulate and what they can't. It'll be interesting to see how schools like Michigan adjust, if the NCAA can level the playing field somehow. It'd just be all around interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, you're right about that, Rodney. It really will, man. And I hope Michigan can figure out some stuff, because if it's not the NIL, it's the admissions. It's just so many things that's going against us, man. And also going against those Ivy League schools, too. I mean, it is what it is at this point. That's why you have Baylors. You got the Baylors and the Texas. And the standards is not the same. The standards are not the same. And that's why those guys run to Alabama and all those other schools, because the standards aren't the same. I hate to say it, but it's true. A fucking 1.0 would probably get you. They going to cancel us off.
Yeah.
Let me stop it. But no, you know what I mean, Roddy. Shit. Everybody, the listeners know what I'm.
Yeah. It is what it is. And while you want to get into some more controversy,
let's get into some more controversy. So I want all the smoke.
Kendrick Lamar comes out. This is Drake and J. Cole. J. Cole responds. First of all, let me say the album itself, Might Delete Later, pretty damn good.
Yeah, it really wasn't bad. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. I when I cut it on, I thought it wasn't bad. The 7-minute diss wasn't really that. The 7-minute diss wasn't great to me, because it felt like he was backpedaling on the diss too.
Well, so let me say this: the 7-minute diss, 7-minute drill. And I don't even know if it's still streaming.
Oh yeah, 7-minute drill. Yeah.
I know people were expecting more, but it's kind of like him. First of all, you can tell in the diss, him and Kendrick are friends. So it kind of reminds me of when Jay-Z and Nas first was going at each other, but they didn't say each other's name directly. It was kind of like that, and it went to like Takeover. He was like, okay, damn, this shit's serious. So I thought that, you know, I thought both of the songs would be the lead up to a bigger diss. It's kind of like Kendrick threw a couple jabs and J. Cole threw a couple jabs back, but nobody threw like an uppercut or a hook. No haymakers were exchanged.
Right. And that was the thing with this one. Kendrick came out in such a blaze, and it wasn't even his song. It just, maybe his tone is a little bit different. That's what it is. Like, Kendrick's tone is just, and his ad-libs make it even worse than what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt like with J. Cole's, it was more apologetic. So when he came out and backtracked, I wasn't surprised, Rodney.
Yeah, and I'm not even mad at him for backtracking, because J. Cole has never been like a diss rapper, never really been in that era of this. Hell, he had to borrow from the Takeover and from Stillmatic, because when he talks about being too short to box for God, that's a Nas line. And then, of course, he stole the 4 albums in 10 years. I could divide lines, so.
Right. That's why I say he was listening to inspiration from somewhere else. And he came up with, and don't get me wrong, it's not like a piss poor diss. You know what I mean? Like, it was a decent diss. Don't get me wrong. The mixtape itself was good, with like a lot of subliminals in there that you can kind of say, who is he talking about? Because a lot of those songs were fire. But then for him to come out and just like discredit like basically the album and the diss, basically, and say, hey, that's not what I'm about. And that's why he said he doesn't want to promote that type of vibe. And I get it. I get it. Because Kendrick Lamar is a different type of rapper than J. Cole. J. Cole is a friendly rapper. He's all about peace and prosperity, I feel. I don't know, man. Like, how do you feel about this, Rodney, with him backtracking it? And what do you think about how the album sounds now to you after he's backtracked on the album?
So, to me, it doesn't take away from the album overall. I thought the album, for the most part, was pretty fire. I love the song 3001. It's a couple of the song with Killer Cam. I love J. Cole verse on that. Like I said, it to me, as a fan of hip hop, like you want to see two people that you consider the best at their craft go at it. As a man, though, I respect what J. Cole did. If it's not sitting well in your spirit, if it's affecting you mentally, then you got to do what you think is best in your spirit. I think it proves that Kendrick and J. Cole, they're not just rappers, they're actually friends, which leads me to believe at some point we're going to get a Kendrick and J. Cole album even more now.
No, I kind of, I see it that way too. I just hope that, I know he was promoting another, this was more like a mixtape from J. Cole. Because he kept talking about an album of him coming out with another album.
And hell, he said he got two classic right now. I want to hear them both.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too. Like, I want to hear them both. But I kind of like this J. Cole. Don't get me wrong. I like the other J. Cole albums and stuff too. But this J. Cole felt different. You know, him talking, popping his shit and talking about he got shooters and shit like that. I was like, whoa, you know, like it threw me for a loop. And I was actually happy to hear this type of J. Cole. But it felt like it was different, and it just was too different, even for him. So I guess you're right. I can respect him backtracking. I get it. But I wish he wouldn't have. I wish he probably would have called him and talked to him one-on-one, but didn't come out in a broader audience. Because now you got all these people talking and saying how they don't respect him and they don't fuck with him. And that actually took him down from being part of the big three.
I don't know. If in my book, it doesn't take him down. I get it. People love drama more than friendship. So, you know, controversy sells. So, and you know who gets a pass from during all of this?
Your favorite artist?
Yeah, that damn Aubrey.
Yeah, he gets a pass. And he gets a straight up pass and nobody even fucking blinks an eye. And then you got fucking fat lip DJ Academics talking about, I called Drake right after this and said, I hope you ain't trying to do what J. Cole did, because J. Cole, he let us all down. And Aubrey said, how dare you even mention that, you know, like that I would do something that stupid. I said, okay. And then it begins. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna hear a diss from Drake eventually. It'd probably be subliminal. But yeah, I guess it kinda takes J. Cole down a different path. Hopefully this next album he comes out with is super fire and gets us back on the right track for J. Cole.
Yeah.
Positivity.
I'm not sure he's off track. I think everything fits with who he's been as an artist. J. Cole is very private. He's one of the most private hip hop people we have, right? He's married. You rarely see him out in public with his wife or his kids. Like, his private life, he keeps very, very under wraps, so.
Yeah, you're right. But But right, and the reason why I say a different path, because if you look at all his albums and all his songs, you know, he talk about life situations, he talk about having kids, he talk about, you know, women problems. He talks about everything. You never really hear him talk much about, or he talk about, you know, he paints a picture. He's a storyteller also, so he paints you a picture or a perspective through a story about some other individuals and stuff. But he never talks about, like, shooting somebody or gunning somebody down. He never has a gangster rap past. And he kind of went in his bag with the gangster rap on that 7-minute drill. So it just, it wasn't really him. But hopefully he'll get back to, you know, himself and get back to giving us some life problems, some women problems, or, you know, talking about getting some ladies or something. Or, you know, I like that J. Cole too.
Or Neil Long.
Or that too. Now look at all his songs, man, like from Crooked Smile to Can't Get Enough. You know, I mean, it just, Nobody's Perfect. I just look at all his songs, Saint-Tropez, all his songs. I look at all of them. It's just, he has uplifting songs, confidence song. You know, it just, that's J. Cole. Like, that's the J. Cole we all like. And talking about women and you know, that's just him. And not such a shitty way, you know, in kind of uplifting way too. And also talking about women problems. It's just, that's J. Cole. But gangster rap, shoot him up. Got my shooters waiting. Waiting on my word. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, so, well, I will say this. 2024 is everything so far in music that 2023 was not.
I agree.
Even with some of the tours where they're starting to be announced, like you got Missy coming, you got Killer Mike that's gonna be here. So even some of the tours of J. Cole and the Canadian are coming. So
you silly.
You got a Beyonce album, you got a Rhapsody album coming, you got a surprise J. Cole album, but possibly another J. Cole album coming out this year. You got Big Sean dropping this year, I guess. So I think even without the beef between Kendrick and J. Cole and Aubrey, I still think 2024 so far has been a far superior year for music than anything 2023 was ever.
Yeah, you're right about that. Way better, way entertaining. 2024 has been freaking amazing, hands down. Rap albums are good, movies are good, wrestling is good. I mean, what can I tell you about 2024 has been amazing. The drama. Cat Williams opened up the door and just everything just went fucking crazy. Sports has actually been good. I never seen women's basketball like this in my life. Thank you, yeah. 2024. 2024 has been fucking amazing. Now, hopefully the men's can uphold their end in the NBA. Come on. Yeah,
I'm not holding my breath on that one.
I'm hoping that this playoffs can be spectacular, man. If they can hold their end,
Let me correct myself. NBA playoff, the East, I feel like is going to be trash. Especially, no. I don't know if you saw this. The Greek Freak walked off with an injury today, so.
Well, you know, he always gets injured before playoffs start, but always comes back. And then, winner lose.
I just, short of Boston, Milwaukee, and maybe the Sixers, like, who the hell is watching the East playoff? Now, the West is going to be where it's at.
Yeah, that's true. The West is loaded with teams that can surprise you. I don't think Denver runs away with this.
I really don't think that. And I think it's problematic, right? Because Golden State's been on a nice little run. Like, I would not want to play whoever wins the play-in games and get seeded at that 7-8 seed. You even got the Clipper lurking in the 4 seed, so.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, and I'm going to tell you what, I believe that all the teams can beat each other out there. I believe if in the 7-game series, if you ask me who can win between the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets, I don't know. Both of those teams are really good. You can get a hot Kawhi Leonard, a hot Paul George, a hot Russell Westbrook, I mean, a hot James Harden, and they can keep going on and on. Now they done brung, God damn it, what the hell is his name? Because he was begging for a trade, and now they got him into the fold, too. And he just actually helped them get a victory, and he stopped the Joker from getting the shoes guy. All them damn shoes.
God, I see his face.
I know, and I tip of the tongue. I can't. But anyway, Rodney, we'll figure it out. But, yeah, you give me that matchup. I don't know who's going to win. Right now, if you give me – I can keep going because Denver's a creme de la creme, right? If you give me right now with the way Golden State is playing in a 7-game series against Denver, Draymond's a stellar defender. He always gave Joker problems. Now, remember, they won the championship year before last. Last year they lost to the Lakers. If they happen to go against Denver, I think Golden State can beat them. I really do. With Chris Paul and Klay coming off the bench, the way that they playing right now, and Klay look like fucking Klay from 5 years, six years Klay ago.
Klay putting up 30 points again.
Yeah, like you got to be off that bench. Him and Chris Paul. Chris Paul looking young too. You got to be kidding me. No, I don't know who's going to win that. And the Lakers sometimes too. The Lakers in the 7-game series. I don't know who can win that game either. Let AD show up to 3 of those games. That can go to a game 7. Yeah, like I don't know.
The AD hate is real around here.
I mean, they keep loading that damn team up. I didn't think that we could pick up Spencer Dinwiddie, but goddamn, they done picked him up too. You got D-Lo. I think my mama played for him too. I think your dad played for him. Everybody plays for the fucking Lakers.
Shoot, D-Lo got up and close and personal with Meg the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah. I said, you got to be fucking kidding. It's La La Land, man. It's the Lakers, man. Anything is possible in my KG voice. So, and then you got Sacramento. The Kings are playing really good, too. Give them a 7-game series, too. They can surprise you. They'll give you a fight. I actually like them. They'll give you a nice, tough fight. That Houston team, if they happen to crawl in there, too, that Houston team is really good. They'll give you a nice little fight, too. So all these teams are going to be competitive. Utah's been on a little tear. If they happen to get in there, they're competitive, too. Dallas has been really fucking good. Luka and fucking Kyrie Irving are real scary.
What are they, like 10-1 in their last 11 games or something?
They've been fucking balling. And they done beat the shit out of all those teams. And Luka's fucking hitting the ball off the scoreboard and shit and shooting the ball from half court, throwing it up in the air at fucking 1,000 feet in the air. I don't know what the hell is going on anymore in the NBA. Everybody's scoring 70, 80 points now. It's just, the playoffs are going to be interesting, Rodney. That's why I said I don't know who's going to win in any one of them. Boston, they always play down the competition. They might fucking lose the fucking, the Pelicans are good too on the West. Don't sleep on the Pelicans.
The Pelicans are that team that I really want to be super good, but they always mess. Yeah. Something always happens where they mess around and they don't make the deep run like I want them to, whether it's DeMarcus Cousins tearing his Achilles or what have you. Like the Pelicans are to be better than what they are.
You know what they do? What they got, Rodney? They got the Boston Celtics syndrome. They play down to their competition, and that's their problem. They play right down to the competition. Oh, you're going to play shitty? We'll play shitty right along with you. You want to throw up a million threes? Then you got fucking Zion shooting from half court, too. Fuck it. Let's just do it together. You're going to shoot from half court? We'll do it, too. And they play down to the competition. And that's the same thing Boston does. That's why I want to say Boston is head and shoulders above everybody else in the East. They'll fuck around and have fucking the Miami Heat beat them. Or they might lose to fucking like a shitty team. They probably lose to fucking the Cavaliers or something real stupid. They probably lose to the Knicks. And the Knicks got all the injuries in the world. So you just never know, man, in the East. All these teams are playing down to competition. But I'm hoping for a good playoffs, man. We need this. 2024 has been too good for the NBA to fucking let us down. Baseball is back. I think baseball is awesome. The Tigers are back. They finally won again today.
Yeah, I think they started off semi-hot and then couldn't buy a hit. I hate baseball this time of year.
I know, because it gets you like riled up for some shit. And you know it, it's fucking 100-something games to go.
But yeah, let them start off 4-0. And then it's still like cold as shit in half of the country. So.
Right. You're like, let's go, let's go. They won four games. They're going to make the playoffs. They got fucking 170-something games left.
Yeah, and I feel like the first couple of series, like if it's either has to be a warm weather state or a stadium with a dome, like no one should be at Comerica Park right now playing baseball till like May 1st.
Exactly. No, I agree with you, man. So that's why when they swept the White Sox, everybody was like, well, and the games were like really close. I think they won by 1 point in each one of those games. It was like 4-3, 1-0, and like 7-6 or something. And that was a comeback. So it just and then with the Mets, you know, they it's cold as fuck in New York too. Each one of those games are 1 point games. You just got to really think about it, man. Like, it's shitty weather. Are they winning those games because the Tigers are dominant? Or is the pitching dominant? Or is it cold as fuck outside and they just trying to get in the inside and get out of this cold weather?
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Wings, too. The Red Wings. NHL is 10 times better when you have the fucking the teams that started it all. When you got the Canadiens in there. You got the Rangers in there. You got the Blackhawks, you know. When you got the Red Wings. You know, it's best when Toronto's in there. When you got all those to the Boston Bruins. When you got those teams that are pretty decent in there. Then, like, NHL is perfect. I think the NHL needs the Red Wings.
NHL is, like, always the league where you might see an AC knock off of one. Like, NHL playoffs is, like, pure chaos.
Right. Can I put it to you like this, Rodney? And this is my honest – I'm asking you an honest question, Rodney. The Red Wings are the Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, the 49ers, the Lakers, the Boston Celtics of the NHL. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you got to put them in there. I think based off the teams that you name, like – the Red, like if we're talking NHL, you're probably looking at like the Red Wings, Toronto, and the Canadiens are like the three teams that have that legacy.
And that's why you need them. The NHL hasn't been really doing great in viewership. But when the Red Wings are winning, everybody's watching. Because they love the Red Wings. Gordie Howe is Mr. Hockey. He comes from here. Then you add all those other, you add in the Eisenmans and the Fedorovs and the Brett Halls and the Madonos, the Chelioses. I mean, you can keep going over and over again. We picked up a lot of veterans. We picked up everybody's heroes and put them on our team at one point. The Dominator. You had Dominic Hasek and Chris Osgood. I mean, the legacy goes on and on, man. It's just, you need the Red Wings. The NHL needs the Red Wings. Ratings and viewership is up when the Red Wings are there.
That's true. And hell, the WNBA at this point might be more popular than the NHL.
Yeah, you ain't lying. At this point, yeah. They just need to expand, man. And I missed the Detroit shot. Now you got, you know, with all this happening too, and Caitlin Clark, and her emergence, and other female athletes too.
There are two teams I feel like the WNBA should bring back.
What's the two teams, Rodney?
So the Shock is one.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one probably has a just as good and probably better legacy in the WNBA than the Shock. The Houston Comets.
There we go. We on the same page. Because I said the same thing. I said, why the hell are two of the most favorable teams, two of the most iconic teams in the Shock and the Comets don't have a damn team? I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's the two. Because I believe, if I remember correctly, the Shock had won three titles, and then Houston, of course, had the run of four titles in a row. How they had Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper on the same team still blows my mind to this day.
And Tina Thompson.
Oh yeah.
And you can. Oh man, they were fucking amazing, man. When I tell you. But then our team, man, we came along too, man. We put the hell away. Man, I thought when we wind up getting Cheryl Ford, that really pushed us over too.
Yeah.
The mailman's daughter. By the way. If anybody isn't familiar. Yeah, that really put us over, man. And she added that grit too. And then we wind up picking up a hometown product. Actually, she owns a have you heard about that? She owns like a winery and a restaurant up here on Hall Road.
Yeah, Deanna Nolan.
Yep, Deanna Nolan. When we picked up Mrs. Nolan, Deanna Nolan, yeah, she balled out, man. That team was special.
If I remember correctly, it's from the Flint area.
Yeah, and her grandmother's from my neighborhood, man, and actually taught me in school, Mrs. Nolan. At A.L. Holmes Elementary. So that's just crazy, man. Who would think her granddaughter, and she was still teaching while her granddaughter was hooping, man. And it blew my mind. But rest in peace to Miss Nolan. She was really sweet too, and a great teacher. And her granddaughter was awesome. But yeah, man, we need a team back, Rodney. We really do.
Yeah, because I know Oakland is getting a team. I feel like the WNBA needs to strike faster. I mean, they have all the momentum in the world, especially what's going on at the college level, particularly the Aces have done with the sold out arenas. I just seen something where the Aces are moving some of their games to T-Mobile.
Right. Especially the Caitlin Clark game. And they're already sold out too, Rodney.
Yeah. And then, like, the Connecticut Sun has... So, I just feel like I want every sport in some regards to expand.
Right. And I actually want the players to have the same type of... I want the players to have – I know that they try to put a cap on certain things, and I think it should go off of where you play at, man. I think just like the Aces, they had the Aces. The players were able to use the private jets and stuff, and they took that away from them, saying that other teams weren't able to do that, and that's another way to, like, kind of woo other players away from other teams. Well, let those owners have free reign then, man. Let those owners pay for championships then, if that's the case. Because these women deserve to be paid a lot more than what they're paying. And I don't think they should have to go overseas to go get the rest of their money. They should be able to get paid here. They
shouldn't have to get done with their WNBA season and go overseas to be able to make ends meet.
Exactly. And if Ice Cube and some of these other guys are trying to have Caitlin Clarks and some of these other young ladies and offering them up to upwards of $3 to $5 million for just 10 to 15 games or something like that during the summer, you got to be kidding me. WNBA should be trying to pay that much.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know the Big Three was making paper like that.
Yeah, they, man, they actually do really well too, man.
Yeah, I had to do a double take.
Yeah, because they, you got the and you know what else they're doing too, and Ice Cube was going to do it when he's here too. So when the Big Three comes along and they come to your city, they have events too. They have concert. Ice Cube is also doing a tour and going on concert too. So he has a concert. They got a meet and greet where you can pay for autographs and stuff and pay to meet your famous former players. And they, you pay them to sign your autographs too, and you pay to go to the game. I mean, it's a lot of different things that you do. A lot of money is changing hands. So, yeah, man. And Ice Cube, he invites other rappers and stuff too, rappers and stuff in the community too, to come along and join him, and comedians and stuff too. So, yeah, he got it all decked out, man. He got a good game plan going with the Big Three.
Yeah, I want to see a Big Three game that involves some of the going to work Pistons. Shout out to Chauncey Billups, Hall of Famer Chauncey Billups. Vince Carter couldn't call the basketball game to save his life, but he's now a Hall of Famer too. So
he can't, man. He cannot. He's bad at commentary, man. But it's Vince Carter, man. We forgive him for his commentary faults.
Yeah,
he's terrible at commentary. That's funny, Rodney. You mentioned that.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of Jalen Rose, and we were stuck with Vince Carter for a minute. So,
yeah, I was kind of confused on that whole Jalen Rose situation too.
I'm still confused.
Yeah, because then TNT and ESPN wind up bringing him back for the All-Star game, and he was featured like everywhere. Yeah, they had like a little small documentary about Indiana, and he was part of the documentary too. I know I seen the one with Reggie Miller, Isaiah Thomas, and Larry Bird, but then you know they talk with Jalen Rose. He also was like a coach for one of the teams too, and yeah, he was just like really the focal point of this weekend, man. It was crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I guess he does a lot for their community still too. So, and they still Dodgers in the All-Star game, Rodney. I don't know what kind of All-Star game the NHL is trying to have an All-Star game here. So at least they're thinking about coming here.
Yeah. So I found out with the NBA, the holdup is they want the guarantees that the hotels will be built. So hopefully we'll see some movement soon, because you do have the hotel that's going to be built at Huntington Place. The Illich organization is building a hotel, I guess, next to Little Caesars Arena. So hopefully that will be enough to convince the NBA, hey, or hell, even the Women's Final Four, if they can have it in Cleveland, they can have it here.
Exactly. And you know, that's usually how they do it, too. They move it around, because when they had it here last time, I think they wound up doing the national championship game here a couple of years afterwards. So they usually do like the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and then they do the Britain championship game back. But they had it at Ford Field the last time, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're making progress, and we're going to really show improve with the draft, which looks really good down there, man. All that construction, and they're building that big old dome for the draft, which looks really nice.
Yeah, massive. I was down there the other day. I was like, damn, that's a...
Yeah, that's what I said. What the hell are they building? That's like a whole building, for real. And they finally finished construction on that one hotel that's off of Gratiot. It's a lot of things going on down there, and it looks really nice. I'm actually excited about it. I'm going. Are you going?
I have, so I got the, what is that, the QR code and stuff that you need, but I haven't decided. If I go, I just don't want to drive.
that's impossible. Cause, I think that'll be the worst thing that anybody can do. If you're going, don't drive, because it is going to be hard to drive. And especially you got, like, people come from multiple cities and multiple places, and everybody doesn't drive like the people from your city. So just remember that. You're going to have people from all around, like our neighbors. You're going to have the Browns fans, the Colts fans, the Bears fans, the Packers fans. Everybody that's close is going to really come in droves and come here to the city. So we got to make sure that we have that in mind also.
Yeah, and we got some. I just read the hotels in Windsor are also sold out. So it's going to be a crazy time.
Right. If people feel like they're not safe here, you can always go over to Windsor and come on over. I think the whole city is going through a transformation, man, and I think it's really nice. Well, at least downtown Detroit is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And let's get out of here on this final thought. What do you think about the Detroit sign on 94?
Oh, man, I thought it was going to be bigger than what it was. It looks really teeny tiny.
I just really want to know if you picked that damn font.
Yeah, that's crazy to me, man. I don't know. I thought it was going to be huge, like the Hollywood sign. I'm like, where are they going to put it? I'm thinking it's going to be like damn near Bell Tired, like, esque. It wasn't. Disappointment's room.
Yeah, I really want to know who picked up the font.
It's just the font for you. He said, fuck everything else, it's just a font. That sign is small as hell, man. Somebody's gonna steal that sign.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. It's supposed to be cemented in and it's supposed to be graffiti proof, so.
Oh man, I done seen people steal worse. Or I done seen shit bolted down. They will steal all that shit. They don't know Detroit. And graffiti proof too. They gonna build some anti graffiti proof graffiti. I can't even say that all together. To fuck that sign up.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how long the sign lasts.
Exactly. Like, how long is this gonna last? Cause yeah, I definitely have to check this out. And where is it at again? Is it off of 94?
94 in Junction, basically. So Southwest Detroit going east.
That's crazy to me. That's some crazy work right there, Rodney. Crazy, crazy work.
And on that note, we can get out of here. Hopefully, the NBA playoff will just be about set when we return next week. And hell, I really don't want to see the Lakers and Golden State playing a play-in game, but that looks like where we're headed.
I know I don't want to see it either, Rodney, but hey, if somehow, some way they can kind of maneuver and get around that, I would like to see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll catch y'all on the B-side.
Peace.